Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to In the Jar, where a friendly face ain't far. Now come on, take your seat, because we're going to have a cigar. Smoky. We go into cigar therapy over on Bell Road, I believe, in Phoenix. To get my cigars every week. And it's a great little stop. They got these exclusive drop-offs that they do from, I guess, local cigar makers. And these local cigar makers bring limited edition stuff. So we've been puffing on some good shite recently. This guy's a pretty good one. Privada Reserve. You know what I mean? First clip.
Oh, shit. This don't make no motherfucking gap.
What the fuck are you doing?
I don't want this to my motherfucking cup.
Translator.
I'm gonna shoot this line in my knees.
Shit, it's your knee.
Yeah.
For what?
She was
just
one of the dogs.
But why the fuck
are
you
gonna
finish that
to
you like
that? Oh, this is the hell. I can't
do the hell. My goddamn nerve, dog. You look at your ass, my goddamn kick with your ass out. Kick that motherfucker. Come on, baby dog. Bitch, you know you crazy.
She gets pissed.
This is my favorite account on Instagram right now, Big Love Jemison. And this guy literally just makes videos and he's tormenting his mom like this, dude. I don't know what it is, but like, you know, with your mama or with your lady. Like women you're around a lot and talk to, you start to pick up on what bugs them just a little bit, you know, like just enough. And man, there's nothing more fun. I like being a contrarian. I like getting a reaction. I like getting a rise. This is my favorite account on Instagram right now for that reason and that reason alone. It's a lot of fun and it's harmless. But, you know, it's just, you know, his mama gets pissed. she gets pissed, you know. Next clip. Yeah, man. So I went skiing recently. Sorry, snowboarding. Fell on my ass. Fell on my shoulder. And I've been getting some clips after I started to talk about it more. And just heart rate going up a little bit. It's crazy, bro. Can't. I'm gonna run it one more time, bro. I mean, can't. His fucking legs just... The impact was too much for his legs. Ah, that's crucial, bro. I don't know. I probably won't snowboard again. It just scares the living shit out of me. You know what I mean? You got your feet locked into the damn board. When you fall, there's at least for a guy like me, there's about damn nothing you can do. It's just not going to happen. And I'll tell you what, man, I was up on that mountain. I got going too fast. And I would wipe myself out. I would drop my own butt to the floor going a good speed, right? You know, you take a ass burning when you do that. But it was worth it to me because I knew the wipeout was going to be worse. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't stomach going that fast. And then, you know, there were a couple times where I said, fuck it, I'm gambling. We're going to see how fast we can go. And that's when my shoulders ate it. Bad. Really bad. And I feel like part of the reason I fell forward was because my feet were locked in. And they tended backwards. They said, well, we'd rather land on our upper extremities that are pliable and able to move naturally, as opposed to this lower part of my body that's locked into two boots, where if you fall that way, your damn ankle's getting crushed, your damn knee's getting crushed, like your boy. I don't know, man. I might be a snowboarding hater. I might. That's what trauma will do to a fella. Trauma. Next clip. Royce. This guy played for Memphis. And clip's got no sound. But this happens to me sometimes when I'm playing pickup. Trying to be a big bully, back him down, use your shoulders a little bit, and all that guy guarding you on the block has to do is just, and you're taking that, you go, eventually, you know, pull the rug out, you're going, that seemed a bit more sexual than it had to be, but you're going in. And going in, and number one, that guy guarding you, he doesn't just want to stand there eating it. You know, what I, like, he's not going to, I remember one time, man, I was in middle school, and we were playing AAU, and this kid was, like, 14 and already, like, a decent, like, football prospect, running back, and boy, was strong. He was strong as an ox. And I had to guard him, linebacker, running back, in basketball. And he posted me up, and he bang, bang, and like timed it well. And just his shoulder got right in my chops. And I didn't want to guard him no more. fucking hurt. But, you know, through the years, do I like to play my own, post up a little bit of bully ball? Yeah. And I've gotten this very thing done to me, man. It's the post in basketball, right? Playing in the post. It's a beautiful thing. Now, playing on the outside, dribbling, making threes. That's pretty, man. Luka Doncic, pretty. Steph Curry, beautiful. So it's like, you know, all that's cool and whatnot. But I was never good at those things in basketball. You know, dribbling, functional, right? But not good. Three, maybe every now and then. 1 in 10. Great. It's wide open. I'll take it. But what goes on down on the inside in a basketball game? These guys are fighting, scratching, clawing for a board. That's their job. They're big guys. Their job is to play D and get rebounds. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, I'm talking to you. University of Kentucky legend. I'll have to throw a picture of him on the screen there. Won the national title with the University of Kentucky Wildcats basketball program in 2012 in New Orleans, Louisiana. There's a gritty brand of basketball that still exists. You know, you can implement grit into basketball. It's a good time when there's a guy out there that is clearly less physically gifted than everyone else. Or maybe, I guess from a height perspective, potentially. But sometimes, you know, it's harder for, in any sport, it's harder for some guys to pick up the skill of it, the technical side of it. So, you know, when you got guys like that, just play hard is my point. It's fun. I love it. I love it. Next clip. I love this shit.
Yeah, he got hype.
Imagine having him on the glass seats at a hockey game. Dude, my explore page on Instagram is are apes and German Shorthair pointers. And the more I see of the different species of apes, the more I just want to hang out with one and just like get hype one time. You know what I'm saying? Just like hit the club with one of them boys. You know, throw some dollars. So knock the glass like that. Dude, I don't know, man. It's pretty cool that we potentially evolved from that. Psilocybin mushrooms. I feel like that was weird. Anyway, I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, next clip. I'm going to run that back one more time so y'all can see it. Scully owes his ass, boy.
Hey, yeah, Nate.
He said, I hit 195. Ew, dude. I get fucking sore looking at that. It's like, golly, boy. That's just the worst way to squat. Like, you're fucking... It's like that girl from...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration.
Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Bob's Burgers, this, that like gif of her like trying to twerk or whatever, that's what that looked like, boy. Or maybe the opposite. I don't know. Same spinal type deal, you know. Not natural. That's not the way you should squat. Anyway, next clip. So it looks like this guy is just struggling to get down the hill because he's a beginner. I feel this. I feel this. And as y'all can see, the ski and snowboarding clips are hitting me pretty hard lately. But they got to, I mean, that's got to be a crowd of, at least 400 or 500 people. Could be more. And I can only imagine looking like I must have looked trying to just make it down that fucking bunny slope, dude. And that wasn't no bunny slope. So I wonder if there was some kind of event going on, you know, some kind of soiree where there just happened to be a bunch of people down there. That has to be the story because, or he could have been the last one down the slopes for the day. I'm not too familiar with how these skiing businesses, these skiing programs, how they work. That would be troublesome for your boy. Next clip. I love this guy so much. I was talking about Big Jameson Love last week. Big Love Jameson. But this guy is in contention.
What we got? Oh, yes, Lord.
He just watches people make food.
Until the day that I die, oh, baby, I'm gonna love you forever.
Yes! Forever and ever, amen.
Yes, we're gonna put that season on again. What
he say now? As long as old man
sitting talk about the weather.
$900,000 right now.
Yeah, so his whole thing is like, give me some, and he just like watches people make food, like gas, you know what I'm saying? And he just is always, sometimes he does bad food. Sometimes he'll do something that's looking really ratch, just cat, and do that. But it's kind of like what I'm doing, if you think about it. I'm doing it to his, we're just taking cool shit that we see on the internet every week and, adding our own flavor to it. I dig it. I dig it. Next clip. Oh, so this is a deal. So I follow this page on Instagram called Neurohacker. I'm a big proponent of training the nervous system in whatever capacity that might be. I like cold plunging. I like sauna. I like, obviously, hard exercise is really good. Meditation, waking up app with Sam Harris, et cetera, et cetera. Taking magnesium, all these different things. Cordyceps mushroom, lion's mane mushroom, the list could go down the list there. But this page is really cool about talking about stuff that can help you optimize your nervous system, right? Everybody has a response to what's going on around them. So if you can stay calm when bullets are flying, that's a big, in my opinion, life accelerator. Feel me? So they made a post and they said, it's this is from Dr. Michael Gervais. Our brain has paired the luxury of a long exhale with safety. Okay, so here's the research. A 2018 study from the Department of Stress and Health Science in Japan was performed to confirm that autonomic nervous activity is affected by breathing speed. Breathing technique. 4 seconds in, 6 seconds out. So, let's see if it's in through the nose, out through the mouth, or if it even states that. So this is the conclusion. Using HRV as an index, which is heart rate variance, this study showed that moderately prolonged expiration results in parasympathetic dominance, which is your rest and your digest state. You got a sympathetic nervous system and you got a parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system, and this is what stumped me in school, in biology class, was it sounds like the sympathetic nervous system would be the part of the nervous system that relaxes you. It's not. It's the other end of that spectrum where you're hyper nervous, hyper anxious. You know, you're really feeling a distressing emotion like, you know, depression or sadness or whatever. And your heart rate starts to go up. You start to freak out. Holy shit, my life, whatever. And that is your heart saying, your mind sending a signal to your body that's saying, I might not survive. I might not be cool. And so that cues your body to start cranking that heart rate. You're distressed. You're not having a good time. You know what I'm saying? But whereas the parasympathetic nervous system, that's when we're zen. That's when we're feeling good. That's when our heart rate is low and we're not having to expend a lot of energy. We're not having to expend a lot of resources to keep baseline, right? So as a kid, I always thought that the sympathetic, it was ironic that the sympathetic nervous system was actually the opposite of sympathetic, I guess you could say. But so the conclusion, HRV is an index. The study showed that moderately prolonged expiration results in parasympathetic dominance, rest and digest state. So, you know, when you're yelling at your spouse, or you're pissed off at your therapist, or you know whatever it is, and they tell you to take a breath, it's probably the best thing for you in that moment. And nobody wants to hear that. Like Cole, if you were pissed off at me, you're fucking reaming me, ripping me a new one, and I said, hey brother, take a breath. Most people are going to want to be like, fuck you. But it really is the best medicine, it seems like. And it's so simple, right? It kind of mirrors other things in life. Like, it's simple, but it's not easy to control your breathing, right? And a lot of people, when, you know, they're highly anxious or paranoid or whatever, typically the people in my life that I've known that are like that have a bad control of their breathing, which is crazy. It's crazy, but you know, it's just as big of a component of overall health practicing something like breath work as is eating or working out, in my opinion. So, pretty cool. Next clip.
First thing you have to do is you have to have toughness. All right, you got to be tougher than everybody that we play. All right, but, you know, I've never stood up here in all the time that I've been here and ever really defined toughness for you. The way I'm going to define toughness to you, because I'm talking about mental toughness and I think everybody can relate to it, is it's all about what does it take to break you. And the reason I come to this is we had to put hurricane windows in our house in Florida on the beach. All right, so I asked the guy, how do you figure out that these windows are better than those windows? What does it take to break them? All right, so if you really think about toughness and mental toughness, what does it take to break you? I don't care what circumstance you're faced with. What does it take to break your focus because you get frustrated about what happened on the last play? What does it take to make you give in because it's hot outside, or you're tired, or you don't feel like running to the ball, or giving effort, or finishing the play like you should because of how you feel, whether you're a little bit hurt? What does it take to break you? So everybody here has got to have a lot of mental toughness to be able to sustain what we do at a high level. And just because you got beat on the last play, that can't affect your next play. Or that's breaking you. Your frustration is breaking you. Just because you miss a block, or you get blocked, or you miss a tackle, or you fumble the ball. What does it take to break you? All right, so there's no easy way. And everybody here knows that I've always talked about discipline. But I think having toughness, what breaks you, is what helps you be able to maintain the discipline that you need to have to do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, the way it's supposed to get done, because you minimize the circumstances that...
Damn, clip cut before he wrapped it all up, but... I think in life, when you start to see solving problems as a fun challenge as opposed to something else, maybe negative, I think that is the key to building toughness, because then you can perpetually expose yourself to more and more things that make you better, and you don't run from the prospect of failure if the opportunity presents itself to maybe try something or put yourself under a little voluntary stress. And then you start to see problems in life, problems in football, problems in your job, problems at home, they're gonna occur. It's just what it is, right? And so I feel like it's our job as humans to not fight with whatever oversees us, whether that be God or nature or whoever else, on what's happening, right? Something shitty happens, it's out of your control. You're like, I've been here hundreds of times. Oh, poor me. Everything's out to get me. Oh my God, my life is just one thing after another. And it's like, no external, and again, we're human, so I come up short in this. We're all going to come up short in this. But no external interaction or happening should have, like, if you come out of something feeling negative, that negative feeling is in you. It doesn't have to be anywhere else. And if you choose to stop thinking about it in terms of I feel sad, I feel depressed, I feel like a victim, whatever it is. Like, if you take that out of it and you just kind of say, like, whatever problems occurred, whatever shitty thing happened, I have no control over it. So, I don't have to identify with it. So when you take the I out of, trying some hard things, and doing some hard things, every now and then, just to kind of build up strength, you know, all the other problems from the day, all the other happenings that I can't control, all the other opinions of whoever, like they don't matter anymore. And it kind of gives you mental space. And I think physical energy too, it frees it up so that you could just like focus on the work, focus on whatever the task at hand is. You know, so I think that's all he's talking about. I mean, any guy, I bet any guy that played under Nick Saban, any guy, you know, played under Saban at Bama, whether you're a walk-on or, you know, guys that didn't make it to the NFL going on the job market, I bet once the people looking at hiring him find out that he played for Saban, they offer like that. Because I would. These are life principles that he's teaching that, you know, it's about toughness. It's about being tough. And, you know, deep shit. I don't know. Oh, this is fire.
Want to get into that bitch. Kicks. Avila taking off again. This time distributes.
I think his name's Rick Avila. He's got the goggles. He's just balling.
Bounce pass underneath. Back out. Avila looks to take.
Shot fake. Nice take with the foul.
Inside Avila. Score. Larry. Avila.
Bang.
Don't let the side. Avila catches the inbounds pass. Backs his way to three. Missed it. Rebound. Offensive. Up. Now Swope. Oh, my. Right back to kind of feel to him. Offensive rebound.
Bang. Hits the boards like a big fella should.
Avila two.
He's a banger, bro. He mean.
Dishes. Open shot. Larry. They'll bring it back out now. Avila, inside out feed. Conwell, three.
Nice assist. Indiana State, I believe that's where Larry Bird went way back in the day, in the 70s, I think. If this guy makes it to the NBA, I'm buying a jersey. I'm buying a jersey. He's a dog. Next clip. Baker Mayfield taking a little BP. Running through with some strokes. Hitting lefty. Whiffed on that one. Cameraman doesn't cut it. Bang. Dude, there's not many things like the sound of that bat in BP before a professional baseball game. In college baseball, they use metal bats, and the sound off of it's just not as good. But a crisp bomb off a wood bat in 75 degrees. Or 80 degrees. It's nice. It's really something. And I always talk, you know, baseball is a sport I wish I was good at. Not only, I mean, those guys get paid, and they play a lot of games, but, you know, it, and I think as much money as baseball players make, the money that's in NFL, is just probably not ever going to be competed with, at least in American sports leagues. And, you know, so a lot of guys choose football over baseball, and they were actually terrific ball players. Tom Brady was a terrific ball player. Y'all know the story of Kyler Murray and so on and so forth. So I bet Baker is pretty decent on the diamond. And I think he's pretty good on the football field, too. I do. Next clip. Oh, this is brutal. He does the right thing. and it breaks.
Fuck you!
Dude, imagine. I mean, so he did a really nice. He took the back and he locked the hands up, and he got the slam on concrete. Dropped the guy right on. He was gonna hit his head on the concrete. That would have might have killed him. And so the arm comes in at the last second, obviously snaps, because you can really, with one of those lifts, and especially because this guy looks much smaller than the guy that obviously won. You can, when you take someone smaller, you can really generate some power, some velocity on the way up and let it rip. So that guy probably would have. I think, I'd love to hear some professional opinions on this. I think that if he lets him drop him on his head there, that would kill him. So that was a brutal ass break, but probably saved his life. And it's good he walked off from that, because that was a textbook slam. Textbook. Next clip. So I talked about this last week.
On the Big Ten Network is brought to you by
the Nebraska football team, like a good neighbor, had a halftime dunk contest at a Nebraska basketball game.
Halftime, several Nebraska football players, Thomas Fedoni, in a dunk contest. How about Heinrich Harburg showing off some hops? But it was Jeremiah Charles.
That was fire.
The defensive back that had Matt Rhule. Jumping off the bench.
Coach Rhule.
To give Charles a little love after he wins the Husker football dunk contest.
Damn, that's fire. Really good idea, too. Just a lot of fun. And it's cool that nobody's, like, pissy about it, saying, like, no, I'm not doing that because I'm going to get hurt doing that. It's like, you know, do some other stuff. Have some fun. And, you know, I'm sure the Nebraska basketball fans love to see – you know, some football guys throw down a little bit in the off season. So props to whoever came up with that. I wonder if that was sponsored or branded somehow. If so, great work. If not, still cool. You know what I'm saying? So that's fire. Next clip. Cheddar Bob face ass. Plaxico Boys face ass. He had to have missed his leg. If he actually hit his leg, he's a stoic warrior. He's not bleeding. There's no blood. I think he just hit the floor and was like, oh, yeah, sorry. Nothing happened. Cheddar Bob face ass. Plaxico Burris face ass. Put your gun on safety, brother. Please. Put your gun on safety. Get you a nice holster. Who knows? He could be in a state where you can't, you know, carry or whatever. But, brother, let's be professional here. You're trying to defend yourself. That's why you got a gun on you. So what are we doing keeping it in our pocket? Of our, what was it? Board shorts. Not even in the cargo pocket. It's in the regular pocket. And he's fucking with his gun. Getting fast food. What do you need your gun for? Maybe he was making sure it was still there. I lose things. I am no angel. I lose things. And I check. Okay? But to put your gun in the pants pocket of your board shorts at a fast food restaurant getting food, and you reach in there and you pull that damn trigger, He didn't act. I don't think he shot himself. I think it hit the floor. Hit the flow. Ridiculous. Ridiculous, Colt. Next clip. Oh, this is cool.
He is.
Crazy, yeah, boy.
What have we seen? Matthew Colt Nichols out in the nick of time.
His own rendition of the Swanton. Yeah, so that's the Cole. What's that glass they use in the movies that like doesn't hurt you? Sugar glass. That's gotta be. I mean, that's got a. That's sugar glass. But B, you see the lacerations on his back. Lacerations. So you saw that shot at the end. If I mean, the people that, I don't know what job title somebody on a Hollywood set or in the WWE, somebody that's in charge of the blood, the fake blood, I wonder what that job title would be. Fake blood administrator. Or, you know, whatever. Point being, whoever had that job description for this particular WWE, is it? I don't know if it's WWE, AEW production, AEW program. Whoever's in charge of fake blood, if indeed it's got to be fake, wrestling's real. WWE's real. I don't want to hear it. Whoever did the fake blood for that guy did a masterful job. And I know I took a long time to say that. Masterful. Because there's no way he's jumping through real glass. I'm kind of questioning it now. If that was, I'm just kidding. I'm like 10% questioning if it's real. Okay, 10%. I'll give you that. All right, next clip. This guy's playing some golf. Okay, he's having a good time.
We have a 350-yard par five. Absolutely piped this drive into the middle of the fairway. Next shot is about 230 left. I hit it a little bit right into the rough. The water comes into play on the left-hand side here, so I try and keep it right still.
Right.
Have it to about 15 yards. Chip it to 1 foot. And sink a putt for par.
For par. I had a couple friends that had that R. When you say your R, because I know you call this a lisp, right? You call this a lisp. But what do you call people that say, like, quarterback? I want to play quarterback. What do you call it? Rolling R? Par five. I'm genuinely interested. I don't mean to insult the speech pathology world, if that's what you call it. I'm genuinely trying to understand. But this guy, man, he made par. He's a dog. He was hitting the shit out of that ball. I probably would get a 7 on that hole. He got a 5. And he's, you know, probably 3 feet tall, piping a ball like that, man. So, you know, I'll take a speech impediment for par in every hole. Next clip. Throwback.
87% coming into the game today. There's 1 out of 2 tonight. Got the first one.
Who's tied? He hits a big free throw. Dude, Marshall Henderson was a goat. Agitation goat. For Ole Miss. Clutch.
You gotta push here. Go to the rim.
Josh Wallace off to Sullivan. 2 seconds.
Damn.
That'll do it. And Ole Miss survives.
Dude.
6-0 for the first time in the.
Dude, the Marshall Henderson era at Ole Miss was crazy, brother. It was so fun, and I remember he came to Lexington to play Kentucky the season he was really big, and I can't remember the year that was for the life of me, but I mean, the guy was just a professional agitator, and he got in people's heads, but he also hit like huge shots. Underwhelming looking kid, like doesn't pass the eye test at all, totally unassuming. You'd think he's just like, you know, a white guy that kind of wears his new era baseball cap with the bill a little too straight. You know, one of those types of guys. And he's just a dog. He was a dog. And I don't think he had a pro career, right? I mean, obviously, like, you got to have some size. You got to have. But he was a dog, dude. Just the way he go up there right after he hit the two free throws to seal the deal on the road, goes to the other team's fans, and is just like, bitch. I loved him. I still love him. And I saw this clip on my TikTok feed this week and had to shout out Marshall Henderson, had to shout out SEC basketball. Next clip.
So late off the ball, time just fucking getting manhandled. John is not mentally checked in today. Totally out the fucking reservation. I do not know what's going on with you today, Tennessee.
This guy's fucking hard on these boys.
Time, fucking textbook. Left side, two more.
I love these clips.
Jack and Jackson. Or Tom, next. Ready. Don't overset. Nice punch off. God damn, now finish them though.
Why are they? Hey, chase their ass. They're like running through.
Tom! I said Tom! Do you not want to go? Dude, that's
so like meek.
Don't want to play this morning. Awesome.
Coming out.
Scared ass defensive lineman. what is that, Tom?
Okay, yeah, he just like runs through. He's just like, oh fuck.
Inside move, time. Come on, John. At the line of scrimmage, Jonathan. Good, Deke. Understand they can't beat you unless you let them inside. They can't beat you outside, Deacon. Time. They cannot beat you outside, Deacon. Left guard, three tech, Ray Ray.
Fellow's a big boy.
Don't overset. Hands. Time. Getting fucking manhandled. Doesn't even look like you give a shit, Deacon. Take the fucking will. Hey,
Lonnie, you're like 13, 14 year old kids. Deacon, it's fire.
Don't take it easy on people. Don't take it easy on people. Time.
He could have thrown his ass. Yeah, they got to run through that opposite line. Dude, so, like, I talked about, I think last week, going to prospect camps, like, as a high school kid. And as a linebacker, you always, in those camps, you always got to play the coverage drills. And I always loved pass rushing. And so I always would look over at some of these drills, the one-on-ones, and I'd be like, damn, you know, ideally that looks really fun, but then you see how big those fuckers are, and you're like, okay, I don't know if I want to mess with this guy anymore on a one-on-one, because they get really chippy, especially because there's no pads on, right? There's no helmet. So you can catch hands to the face. You can catch, throat, all these different places up here. Really, it's a no helmets thing is a big deal. But, you know, it can get really chippy. And I've seen, you know, some guys do some dirty shit during these one-on-one drills. And especially when, you know, their camps and their coaches watching that might offer them a scholarship. So they really got it turned on. They really got the chip on their shoulder. I was no angel. And, yeah, it's just like, they get chippy. So I love this guy's page because he really, I think, obviously doesn't mince words with kids. And I feel like there's a shortage of hard coaching in today's world. I think, you know, there was a hard ass era like this from like, you know, the 50s to maybe the late 80s, early 90s. And then you kind of started to enter from the 90s to, you know, probably COVID of like this participation trophy era. And now I think you're seeing a counterculture to all of that bullshit. And you're starting to see people like this embrace hard coaching again and say like, look, right, back from the, you know, back in the 50s to the 90s, like, I don't think people understood as much about human nature and maybe how to optimally deliver hard coaching, especially on young people, whether that's in business or in sports or otherwise. But now I think you're seeing people have more emotional intelligence, right? But they're still coaching the youth or their players or their team, like they coach them hard. And I feel like there's a, you know, that's a good balance between, you know, the hard ass fucking 50s to, you know, the people from those generations. I mean, from the 50s to the, you know, 90s probably. And then from the 90s to COVID, like you have this, like, you know, I don't want to say softer, but softer mentality on things. And there's still a lot of people out there that still take that approach. But I think the world is changing before our eyes. In America is changing before our eyes. And this counterculture of hard coaching has emerged. And it's I love this guy's page. I can't, the username was on the screen. I can't remember him for the life of me. But they had him to go talk to Coach Prime. Deion Sanders had him go and talk to the Colorado Buffaloes recently. So that'll be interesting to see where that program goes. So we've talked a lot about camps and high school and combines and stuff the last 2 weeks. So I found this clip, and this kid is running routes. I guess it's at a high school. It's a high school kid, and he's running routes rather awkwardly, and I can't really put my finger on it. Dude, I think it's the way he pumps his arms. Yeah, his arms are straight as shit. Hard time kind of sitting down, changing direction. Straight arm. Okay, that was a decent route, though. Didn't get it. I got overthrown. And then you just fall. I used to catch balls like that on JV back in the young days, baby. Glory days. So, a little bit of a different show this week. Thought we'd kind of get into the weeds on the clips here. But that's the last clip. This is episode 10 of In the Jar with your boy, Dupe. And we'll see you next week.